Relevant content for our members, by our members. This is TMC Connect.
So, Sue, what is that? What is Grab Your Keys?
So, Grab Your Keys is the podcast I started about a year ago, and Melissa's been on it. So we'll have to have you on too. I think they just went live at the start of that.
We did.
We don't care. So when, how often is that, weekly, monthly, quarterly?
So we took some time off during the summer because I wanted to get I wanted to get some more guests that were in the box and out of the mortgage industry. So it's weekly, and we're taping through the rest of this year. We already have all of our guests for the most part planned out.
And where did the name come from?
Grab Your Keys is because I collect keys, and I feel like everybody has to grab their keys all the time. So we talk to homeowners about getting their houses. We talk about mortgage people about getting business. And as a mom, I feel like I always have to know where my keys are and have them in my hand. And sometimes I have to grab them so the kids don't use my car.
I'm old fashioned, and I resent, or I'm, I don't know what the word is, but I'm sorry to see old fashioned tickets, paper tickets, cardboard tickets, apparently have vanished. You know, everything's electronic.
Cardboard tickets for what?
A sporting event, a concert, you know, whatever. It's all on your phone.
All on your phone.
And so I
haven't been to a concert in a while, but I would be sad to see that go too, because I like to keep the ticket of the different concerts I've been to.
Yeah, I have tickets going back many years. And so now, so when you talk about collecting keys, you know, I mean, my car key, I don't have it on me, but it's just like a little, you know, whatever. It's not a.
Yeah, right. So our logo is a key, and we have keys, antique keys, all over the house. And the cool thing is that when I give people mortgages and they've been to my office or people who work with me, they see a cool key, they buy it and give it to me. So it's pretty cool because we have keys all over our office.
That's awesome. There is a, so those keys don't necessarily go to anything. Right? They go to maybe locks that are not around anymore.
Yeah, they go to locks. And with Grab Your Keys, which is the name of the podcast, we talk about everyone's keys to success, which are just keys that are just out there so that people can give great nuggets of what they've succeeded with in and outside the mortgage industry.
I love it. I think it's such a cool name and a cool way to talk about, because everybody has different, you know, views of success, right? And so I love it. All right. So I'm actually going to go ahead and kick us off. Is that okay?
That would be awesome.
Are you ready? Okay. everybody's used to kind of our warm-up talks as everybody gets in. Welcome, everybody. I'm Melissa Langdale, President and CEO of the Mortgage Collaborative, joined today by Rob Christman, and this week by Sue Meitner, the president of Centennial Lending Group, as well, which is a division of Success Mortgage Partners. Yes. Welcome, Sue.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah. We and also, before I get started, make sure, if you have not, to subscribe to our TMC Connect podcast and YouTube channel. We'll put some links in the chat. For everybody. And we were just talking, Sue, about your podcast that you have started called Grab Your Keys. Yes. And it's kind of, you know, the theme is about having people share their keys to success. Obviously, as you know, this market is a little challenging, especially from a sales perspective. We have a lot of salespeople that are trying to, you know, continue to grow their business or keep volume up. You know, and obviously you are a very accomplished, well, top originator. Can you share some of your keys to success in navigating this crazy market that we're in?
So it's definitely a crazy market and a crazy season for sure, which I think can be seen as a positive thing for our industry. And in any industry, it has its highs and its lows. I've been in this mortgage business since 1992. I got right into the mortgage business right out of college, and I don't know anything else. So I've seen it through the 90s, I've seen it through the 2000s. And, you know, now we're in this season. And I think this season, we need to remember to go back to the basics. And we need to be positive as we go back to those basics. The more that I'm talking to the originators that work with me, the more that I'm talking to the borrowers and the realtors and the referral partners that talk to me, I like to listen to what they need in the marketplace. I like to see what their big picture is and try to provide value and help them. And I think that's part of an originator's job and a leader's job is to look at those things. So I think that going back to the basics, I talked to somebody last week who didn't know if they wanted to buy a house there in Florida or not. We're in Pennsylvania. It would be a second home or an investment property. And they talked to two other originators, and those originators had not talked to them about their big picture in life. They had not talked to them about what equity they had in their primary residence. They had not talked to them about what the payment they were comfortable with. And these are basic things that we need to like remember when we're talking to the consumer, but we also need to remind the realtor that now is the time that lots of lenders are getting out of this mortgage business. And we need to ask realtors, is your lender still there? How can we help you? And do you want somebody to sit in open house with you? Open houses are, I'm doing things that I did in the 90s. Yeah. And that is providing myself and our team with success, is talking to the borrowers, talking to realtors, and being real. And I do think that social media definitely helps a lot. I mean, you know, I'm all over social media. If you're not connected with me on social media, please do. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, anything at Sue Meitner. And I just share stories. I think sharing stories is the way people learn, and we need to educate. Educating is so important in the industry right now, more than ever before. So there are some of the keys that I think that we all need to like keep in touch with and help our realtors grow. I mean, I think in the Association of Realtors came out and said the average realtor didn't sell 4%, sold less than eight houses, more than eight houses or something like that. That's insane. Yeah. So we're all dealing in the United States with the same problems, and we just need to go back to the basics. And it's easier said than done. It takes a lot of hard work. You need to constantly be in front of people. You need to constantly be calling your past customer database. You have to call your realtors. You have to do everything. You need to use all the tools you have in your toolbox.
Yeah.
I had a question, Sue. So you talked about how you regularly get together with or communicate with your loan officers in terms of what they need, what they're seeing, and what they need. What are you hearing about what loan officers need right now?
They need more business, but that's what they say. We need more business. And what I say to them is, go get it. Like, it's out there. You have to work hard for it. And I'm telling them to use all their tools, to call five past clients a day, to call five realtors a day, and to talk to people, to call five prospects of people who they've spoken to. If you're not keeping in touch with the prospects who are out there looking at houses, you're going to lose them. So you have to have your hands in a lot of different buckets. And that's hard to constantly have a lot of balls in the air at the same time. So that's what I talk to my loan officers weekly, at least, and maybe daily. We are in constant communication, and we want every single person to be raised up and to be help them as much as possible. We give them a lot of marketing, support.
So when did you start your company?
So my trajectory of Sue has been, I started being an originator in 1992. I started being an originator in 1994. I actually really started in the post-closing department right out of college. And I worked my way into being a salesperson, because when they were giving lots of pink slips, when they were laying lots of people off in 1994, instead of being laid off, I became a loan officer. So I went from having no paycheck to really having no paycheck. And I didn't realize that you actually had to like go get deals to get paid. So I learned very quickly that I had to go get deals. And I ran a couple different mortgage companies up until about 2009. And in 2009, I decided to open up Centennial Lending Group, which was an independent mortgage banker. And we grew pretty quickly. We were in the Forbes top 500 by 2015. And in 2018, I merged companies with Success Mortgage Partners to become a division of Success Mortgage Partners. And so I took my CEO hat off and I run my division and run 20 to 30 loan officers at a time that, you know, are up and down the East Coast.
And so do you prefer that to running the entire company where ops is reporting to you, vendor management reports to you, accounting reports to you, and so on?
I always knew that when I couldn't put my head on the pillow and have a good night's sleep, and when my children and partner said, "Sue, we want our sparkly Sue back," or "I want my mom to be present," that I didn't want to have that job anymore. So I was lucky actually to be part of the Mortgage Collaborative and be at a conference in the month of August. I remember it well. I had just toured colleges with my son and we were there. And I said, "Drew, the University of Alabama is amazing. Do you like it?" And he said, "Mom, why do you think it's amazing? You haven't been here the entire time." And then I got on a plane in tears practically. And I went to the Mortgage Collaborative Conference and I met, I knew Owen Lee and I had a conversation with him and he said, "How can I help?" And I think I said something like, "I don't think you can help, Owen, unless you want to buy me." And he said, "Well, why don't we talk?" And so we ended up merging companies in December, on December 1st of that year. It was super fast. And I miss being a CEO? Of course, I miss everybody reporting to me and having a say in everything. But do I get to go to bed and put my head on the pillow and sleep restfully? Absolutely. And if you remember back in 2018, we were kind of going through a little bit of what we're going through now. And the mortgage industry wasn't as happy of a place. So it was the perfect time for me to do all the things that I love to do and which success has allowed me to do in originate, retain, and recruit. So that's exactly what I do. I raise every one of my loan officers up to do the best that they can be. And I'm in the trenches with them every day. And I do love that part of my career.
Are you still hearing about the big signing bonuses that your competitors might be offering? Is that still going on?
So it's going on slightly, not as intense as it was. And my own take on signing bonuses is that it's a little crazy because with signing bonuses come golden handcuffs. And I don't think anyone should ever be handcuffed to any one company.
Last question for now. So can we all call you Sparkly Sue during the Nashville event?
You can call me Sparkly Sue for sure. In college, I was called Sassy Sue, actually. So you always know where you stand with me, Rob.
Sparkly or sassy? Mm-hmm. All right. Very good.
I love it. Okay, Sparkly Sue, I've got a question for you. Knowing, you know, our industry, right, is at this kind of, I think, a pivot point really from a technology perspective, right? AI and the speed of technology and what's coming out is, you know, faster than I've ever seen it before. But as we start to look at our industry and what parts of technology we really should be leveraging, what parts of our process we really should be leveraging technology for, knowing, you know, you talk to customers every day, your loan officers are, you know, boots on the ground talking with customers every day as well. Like, are there parts of the process that you feel like we should never let technology take over?
So we've been talking about technology since the 90s. I mean, We are constantly thinking that AI is going to take over being originators. And I don't want to say that our jobs are so difficult that it couldn't happen. And it is already happening. And for the most vanilla of clients, you know, probably they could easily get a mortgage. But if you're talking to people, they are not the most vanilla of clients right now. And with national debt being at an all-time high and 61% of Americans living paycheck to paycheck, now is when our industry is needed the most right now. We need to talk to people about restructuring their finances. We need to talk to people about how they can leverage their equity. And just like we were the bright and shiny of the COVID years, we need to be the bright and shiny of the future years too, because we're the ones who are going to help people not be in as much debt. I just spoke to a woman who called me because she was living paycheck to paycheck. She didn't have a penny in her account. She made good money. She had $100,000 of equity in her house plus, and we pulled $50,000 of equity out of her house. She was able to put some of that money into the bank. She was able to pay $10,000 for her daughter to go to college. And when I closed that loan, she was crying. She had relief. And that's what we need to remember, is that we're the ones who provide the relief. It's not AI who's going to provide the relief and have the solution. It's talking to the clients, seeing how we can restructure their finances and making their life better. And as long as we're being the servant leaders that I think most originators are, we will all be fine. And I think we do need to leverage technology. We need to leverage technology of who's making mortgage inquiries of our past clients so we don't lose our past clients and we retain our past clients. We need to use technology in getting in touch and tickling our clients all the time to make sure that we're top of mind. We need to constantly be using AI to be better in our grammar and be better in communicating things through social media and other things. I think we should all use technology in every single way, and we should make sure that we're working at a company that has the best technology ever. But will it take away people structuring a loan properly? Probably not. Are people going to be able to go and lock their rate and know what 100 or 103.2 means, you know, between par and not par, or 99.2? They're not going to totally understand that. We barely understand that. And we've worked in the industry forever. Every time I look at a different rate sheet, I have to be like, what am I looking at again? So I think that we need to just remember and have a lot of self-worth. We are here for our clients and our customers to provide value and to be a shining light for them and sparkly.
Sparkly, shiny. I love it. No, I think you've talked so much about, you know, being the advisor, right? Putting yourself in a position where you can be seen as the consultant, the professional, the advisor that customers really need in the process. And, you know, if I think back to my sales days, I mean, those are the things that really set you apart. That's, you know, those are the, you build relationships with it. You add value to your realtors, because you have more insights into really what the customers are looking for, both short-term and long-term, right? You know, all those things are fantastic keys to success. You also talked a little bit about social media and your, you know, kind of presence and focus in that area. You're on everything, TikTok, you have fun with it. It's really a lot of fun to watch. But, you know, what do you think as you think about kind of social media marketing and your approach there, what do you think are kind of your keys to success in that space? How do you connect with people? How do you, you know, ensure that you're, you know, getting in front of the right people too?
Yeah. I think that you have to be authentic. I think your authentic self has to come through. And I think that if you know me as my friend, if you know me as a business associate, and if you know me on a stage, you're going to see the same Sue. And that's really what I've always tried to do, is be authentic. And I think that you can see that through social media, that I am authentic. Everything's not perfect. And I think that's where people like get the gulp in their throat. Like, I don't want to do social media because I'm not going to look perfect and I'm not going to sound perfect. Well, we do things with one take. It's me. If it's not, it's authentic. And if I mess up and I say the wrong word, then I mess up and I say the wrong word. If I have a hair out of place, then I have a hair out of place. That's just the way it is. I know, Rob, you got to be careful with those things. So, and I really, you have to remember, in 2018, the first year when I joined partnership with success to be stronger together. I had to retain all of my originators, which we did a great job in doing. The second year, I had to go from not originating a loan since 2009. And I had to develop a niche of some sort. So I threw it out there on social media. And that's how I went from a zero production producer to a 25, a 35, a 45, a $55 million producer. And I think that that's really important to say, because I did not originate one loan while I was the CEO of Centennial Lending Group. So, and I just really wanted everyone to see the authentic self, that I have a passion for mortgages. I have a passion for helping people. And the other thing I love to do is I love to take an originator who's like a $12 million originator and grow them into a $20 million originator. That makes my heart sing. We had a gentleman who came to us in 2019, and he was Rookie of the Year, and he had never done more than $12 million a year. And he went from $12 million a year to over $26 million. And when he got that Rookie of the Year award and he came over to me, he said, "Not only have you changed my life, you've changed my family's life." That's super, I take that to heart. I mean, I love that. And every day, that's why I do what I do. We change people's lives, and it might not be our clients. It might be our realtors, and it might be the people who work with us every day.
I love that. It's and I do think you have to be authentic, to go back to your social media, comment. I do think you have to be authentic. It's I had one of my most favorite people told me one time when I first started into sales, I had that gulp of the moment that you mentioned. I was like, I don't know about this whole, video thing. I don't like the way I look. I don't like the settings. And he looked at me and he goes, "Melissa, you look the way that you look. Whether I'm looking at you now or you're on screen, you look the way that you look. You got to be comfortable with it."
I am so proud of where our industry has come from and where we are right now in social media. I watch everything. If you're not my friend, become my friend, because I watch you, I comment on you. I think that when I first started way back when on Facebook and Instagram and LinkedIn even, we have come a long way as an industry, and we should definitely be applauding ourselves every day.
Yeah, we have. Let's talk about that next generation too, because work hard to kind of feed into that next generation. Are you seeing people get into the mortgage industry now, brand new to the industry, MLOs?
Yeah. So we are seeing a little bit in my area of people getting into the mortgage industry, and it's hard.
Yeah.
It is hard. If they can get into the industry and be a loan officer assistant to a top originator, that is what I would suggest, and learn from them for 3 to 5 years. And then see where this industry takes you. I mean, we're going to have new blood in it. We definitely need that new blood, but it is hard. And the realtors eat you up and spit you out. And even if you have 10 realtors, if they only do one deal a year, that's not helping. So it's fine. And then everybody's going after all these larger realtors. So I think it's hard. And I think that they're going to have to come in as a loan officer assistant but I do think that if you're willing to work hard and you're willing to learn and know the guidelines and do the hard loans, I have been blessed every day to be in this mortgage industry. The people I work with, the people I know, I would never have known them if it wasn't for the mortgage industry. So I would tell everybody, we don't learn mortgage in college. So if we're lucky enough to fall into it and can work our butts off, then you can have a very successful career in it. So I am seeing people, they have to work hard. They are definitely disgruntled for the first 6 months to a year, because everyone sees the good originators make it look so easy. It's not easy. I feel like I work all the time. Now, I don't have the hardest job in the world, but I enjoy working all the time. So nothing builds up. So that's just the technique I use. Now, some people will have a 5-day weekend this weekend. that's just not in my DNA. So I tend to just work as it comes, so I don't have anything pile up. But it's a great living. And if you're willing to work hard and go to open houses and meet the people, a new originator can definitely do it. But it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard. It's hard getting into it in any market. But, you know, right now the competition is high.
It's fierce.
That's great. So, you know, the other thing I wanted to talk a little bit about, and Rob, you know, I'll build on your question earlier to Sue. And that's, you know, are your loan officers, you know, requesting specific products or tools to make them successful? You talked a little bit about kind of growing somebody's business from 12 to 20 million a year. You know, are there specialty products or tools that make that happen? Or is it just good old?
I do think there are specialty products and tools to make it happen. You need to use everything in your toolbox. If you're a loan officer and you're not using your CRM, you know, you should be using it. You should be using it immediately. And you're behind the eight ball if you're not using it. You should definitely be tickling and going, having journeys and milestones, and videos should be going out. You should use any slower time you have to tweak those things. And if you're not using Trust Engine, you should be. It's a great tool. You know, people out there who use it do more business than other people. I mean, I'm an old dog and I learned a new trick. So I don't do it every day, but my LOA does it every day. So, you know, we definitely have to have those tools out there. If you want to specialize in something, then you need to specialize in it. Like divorce is a great way to specialize in things. You could work in having, you know, employee benefits programs. You can work on lots of different, you know, thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
is a way of getting business. So I think that's how we lean into, what do you like to, when a loan officer comes to me and wants to grow their business, I go, what do you like to do? What do you want to do? And then we build a game plan to make sure they're doing it. And then I talk to them and manage them every day or every week if they need to. And I say, you know, Andy, you wanted to pull 20 credit reports this week and you pulled 5. How many are going to pull this weekend? Yeah. You know, we need to, it's your goal, not mine. Yeah. So let's talk about this. And that's how we make them grow from 12 to 24 million. That's how we make them double. I have one loan officer who came to CLG over 10 years ago, and he was a 12 to $15 million producer. He's over a $50 million producer today in this market. That's because great. He stuck to his planting his seeds during the refi market and was still going after all of his realtors and took the refis as gravy, but he didn't leave those realtors. And now he is seeing the fruits of his labor right now because he's closing $4 and $5 million a month. So it's just really having the tools and techniques and staying true to them and yourself, and then you'll succeed. So that's what I think it takes.
All right, Rob.
Any last question? I think I answered the question. I did answer the question.
So Sue,
are you going to ask me a hard question? You like cleared your throat as you said it. So I feel like
if this mortgage thing doesn't work out, Sue, you can always go to work at the suicide hotline. I think you would. You would be a great asset there, but I want to ask you though about, you know, I know your focus is on originators, but if you're a vendor, let's say you run an AMC or you run a credit company or you run an LOA, whatever, do you get approached? Are you approached by vendors? And if so, do you just like slough them off onto Owen, or do you talk to vendors about what it takes to get your business? And if so, what is the best way for an outside party to get into your organization?
So I do talk to credit people and I do talk to AMCs. So I do definitely talk to vendors because I want to hear, and I do talk to private mortgage insurance companies because I want to see what they're seeing in the marketplace. I want to know how I can help them. And I want to see what cutting edge information they have and why we should use them or if we should still continue to use them. So, and then if I like them enough, then I'll give them to Allison. So I'll let Owen stay. I'll let Owen work on his own stuff. So then I'll like ask Allison if she can take a look or if it's worth, or if she has spoken to them. But I'm in a different marketplace. You know, I'm on the East Coast. I'm in the Philadelphia marketplace where the Mortgage Bankers Association is going to be in October. So I think that it's important for us to stay with our vendors, because our vendors do a lot of business. We have to make sure that we're getting cutting edge pricing. We have to make sure that our clients, you know, maybe some credit person will tell me that they're not selling trigger leads and I'm going to want to move over to them. So, you know, that's really important to in this industry. So we definitely like to talk to vendors. I love when they come into our office, and I love chatting with them all the time. And if they
good answer,
if they tell me something fantastic, we'll definitely use them.
That's awesome.
There you go. Thank you.
So great question. Even though I was a little nervous with the suicide hotline.
You're very upbeat. You would never make it in capital markets, Sue. But
I probably would not. Yeah, I didn't like capital markets when I did it.
Yeah, trying to explain basis points is always a tough one. So yeah. Anyway, Melissa, sorry, go ahead.
What are basis points? Why do we need basis points?
All right. Well, before we wrap up, since it is, you know, we're coming into a holiday weekend, I will ask, Sue, do you have any big plans for the weekend?
So my mother-in-law has been at my house for 3 weeks now. So she is... Dave is taking her home tomorrow, and my son is getting his MBA at Penn State, and he might come home. So I am looking forward to maybe having a couple relaxing days chatting with my son if he comes home. If he does not come home, it will be me and the dogs, which seems really boring, but we've had a crazy summer. Both of my children have been home on and off during the summer. My son graduated from Alabama, then went to Texas, then he came home and went to get to Penn State. My daughter, who is at Alabama, was home all summer. So I've had lots of kids in. So I'm actually looking forward to maybe having a quiet couple of days.
You going to watch any Alabama football this weekend?
Well, of course I'm going to watch Alabama football. Roll Tide. So,
have you ever seen your son stand up and say Roll Tide in a group?
Of course I have.
On the regular, actually, probably.
I think I've been with him at one of our tailgates.
I knew you'd have something. Oh my goodness. All right.
Melissa, what are you doing this weekend?
We're going to try something new. We're taking our family to something called a family camp. So it's a whole bunch of families that get together as kind of like a culmination of the end of the summer. And there's all sorts of, you know, activities that are done, like, you know, hiking and fishing and swimming and all that. So we're going to go have family camp.
That will be super fun. Rob, how about you?
In the mountains above Lake Tahoe.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah. Granddaughter time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Time with Kazette.
Super awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for having me on and inviting me to share in your time today. I appreciate you guys and thinking of me.
Sue, thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thanks, everybody, for joining us today. Have a fantastic weekend, and we will see you next week.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
For more information about how you can get involved with TMC Connect and witness the power of the network firsthand, please visit us at mortgagecollaborative.com.